Amen. God bless everybody in the presence of God. We are honored to be here this afternoon. Amen. Thank God for you. And thank God for our new member of the heavenly family. Amen. The Lord did something for her this morning. We are forever grateful for how God, she looks different. She looks, I don't know if you noticed or not, but she looks different, and I'm grateful. I thank God for this message on this morning. I need everybody to do something with me this morning. Okay, I need everybody to do something with me. Those that are watching on YouTube, those that will be watching later, those that are in the congregation, I need you to stand to your feet. And I need you to take this finger, hold it up like this. And I need you to place it over your mouth. And I need you to ask the Lord, Father God, in Jesus' name, protect my mouth. Protect the words that come out of my mouth. Give me wisdom when to speak and when to keep silent. Give me wisdom what to say and when to say it. And give me wisdom to bring blessings over my life and the life of others, and not curse them with the words of my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When the Lord gave me this message, it started out as something else, and by the time it got finished, the whole lesson was about what you just did. The whole thing. Amen. And it's obviously very important to God, or he wouldn't have spent so many days and hours with me on this message. So before I get to the message, the title of the message is The Power of Life and Death. Yes. When I was in prayer, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. When I was in prayer this morning on my knees at the altar, the Lord gave me something right quick. He says, some of you, and I'm talking to those of you that are listening, As a matter of fact, if you can write this down, that would be awesome, because I need you to remember this. This came directly from God this morning. He said, some of you are sabotaging your own race, loving the Lord while losing the battle. Should I say it again?
Yes.
He said, some of you are sabotaging your own race. You're loving the Lord while you're losing the battle. That's deep, ain't it?
Yes.
We're in this thing. We're in this, you know, the Lord fashions this after a race. He said, the race is not given to the swift, neither to the strong, but to the one that endures to the end. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so, if I don't have to be the first one in, I just have to be one of those that make it in. What can I possibly be doing as a believer in God, as a lover of Christ? What can I possibly be doing to myself that would cause God to say, I may be sabotaging my own race? I may be interfering with my own self. I may be blocking my blessings. I may be causing my life and my atmosphere to be cursed. I may be the reason that you aren't blessed because I keep sabotaging or helping you to sabotage your race. But I'm a believer. I love Jesus. Yeah. But he said this morning, some of you are sabotaging your own race. And that's what we're going to cover today. Because you wonder why I'm always sick. Why I can never have what somebody else have. Why isn't the Lord doing this for me? Why is the Lord doing that for you? And the last person you look at is probably the first person you should be watching. Amen? Because it's easy for me to blame Pastor Sandy because the Lord ain't come. Or to blame Pastor Sandy because my life ain't the way it should be. Or to blame Pastor somebody else because I'm not doing as well as I should be doing. When the blame is actually in your own hands. The power of life and death is in your hands.
Yes.
You have the authority to speak life into your environment and into your situation. You have the authority to speak blessings over your family, over your life, and over those that are around you. You have the authority given to you by God to be as successful in the presence of God as you can be. You already have the authority to do that. Everything you need to be everything God has called you to be is already in you. So why aren't you there? Right? But I've been in church all my life and you ain't got it right yet. I've been listening to pastors my whole life and nobody has shaken you up to this point yet. There's got to be something missing. If you've been following God all this time and you're still not any closer than you were when you started, something's missing. And that's what we want to cover. Yeah. It doesn't matter how long you've been in Christ. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. None of that matters. This very simple thing could be the reason that you are no further along than you are. Amen? And this is the power of life and death. I'm going to go to a few places and I need you to follow me. Does anybody have any idea what Satan is after, for the most part, regarding you? Do you have any idea? What are the top three things you think Satan is after in order to get you away from the kingdom of God? Just throw a couple things out there. Away from heaven. What else? Faith. What else? Huh? Trust. Okay. Well, amen. Y'all good. Somebody say ego. Ego's a big one. Ego, something. Let me share with you a little something. Nothing is more humanly destructive to the domain of darkness than a faith-filled Christian.
Yes.
Nothing can cause more problems for the enemy than somebody that loves the Lord and they know it. Somebody that can walk by faith and not by sight and they know it. Somebody that's been through it, going through it, been through it, and still standing strong for God. That scares the enemy more than anything else under the sun. Because you can cause, not only are you not falling for his okey-doke, but you can cause other people not to fall for the same thing. And then they can cause somebody else. And then it just goes on and on and on. And all the work that the enemy has put out to try to destroy the people like you are destroying him. So a person that is with faith, a strong Christian in Christ, is the enemy's worst enemy. Who do you think his best friend is? A weak, non-trusting, lukewarm Christian. Because he can take him in and out any way he wants to. He can do whatever he wants. You saved as long as you're in church. But when you leave church, it's another story. There's a whole new... Sometimes I wish I could take the you that's in church and meet you on the outside. Because sometimes the you that's in church, I only get to meet you in church. That other you, we don't get to see that while we're here. You follow what I'm saying? Can God have the you that's here from 11:30 to 1? Can he have that you on Mondays and in the middle of the week? And on Saturdays and Friday nights, can he have that you then? Because that you is the bomb. That you know all the scriptures. That you can pray like nobody's business. That you will tolerate whatever's necessary. But we only get to see you 3 hours a week. When do we have access to that you when we're not here? That's not the message. None of this right now is the message. This is stuff that I have to tell you about first. It's 5 minutes to 12. I got time. So here we go. Therefore, Satan's primary goal in the thousands of his various attacks on us is to take down our faith. Y'all follow me? His primary goal against the church is to fragment the formidable force of united faith and isolate believers. He wants to take down what God has built up in his house Because if you are standing strong by faith, and if you are holding together as one body, the enemy cannot destroy you. He can come against you, but he can't break in. He can't get through. He cannot destroy you. He cannot take you down, and he cannot take you out. And that's what he's coming against. He's coming against the power that God has created through his people in the church. Yes. And so his thing is, if I can break you, if I can separate you and isolate you each, then I have a better chance of controlling and destroying you. The Bible, there's a reason why God says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Yes, you can be saved at home, but you don't have the support at home as you do here. You don't have the spiritual support. When you walk into this house and the Lord is in this place, and you walk in and you feel the presence of God, and you can feel his presence flowing through here, and you can feel how strong God is moving in the atmosphere, that builds you up. You may not have this at home. Yes. At home, it's just you and the enemy duking it out. That's why he tries to keep you away from the house. Because if he can keep you away from the fire, sooner or later, you're bound to burn out. Amen, somebody. Sooner or later, you're going to get cold. Sooner or later, those charcoals are going to turn gray, and that's going to be it. Then he can have his way. So if I can keep you away from the altar, if I can keep you away from prayer, if I can keep you away from the saints that are enjoying and magnifying the Lord together as in concert, I have a better chance of destroying you. But there's even more that he can use than just keeping you away. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Amen. This is going to get good in a little while. In a little while, this is going to be, it's going to be the bomb. Okay. All right. I'm trying to do this as he gives it to me, okay? All right, then I have to go back this way then if I have to do that. Okay. So go to Proverbs 18, 20, and 21. Proverbs 18, 20, and 21. Let me know when you get there. How's the people online, Pastor Nicole? They good? Amen. The title of this message is The Power of Life and Death. Point number one, the enemy uses your mouth against you. Did you know that?
Amen.
The enemy uses your mouth against you. Some of you just won't shut up. There used to be a thing when I was growing up, my pastor used to tell us, can't nobody talk all the time without lying. If you talking nonstop, you lying somewhere because you ain't got that much to say.
Amen.
That's what they used to teach us. Anybody that talk nonstop, just won't shut up, God knows somebody, everything. Yes. You lying somewhere.
Yes.
Amen. That's all right. It'll get better. Maybe you're not saying amen because it's you. I don't know. The other point is, a Christian's faith is like a torpedo to the enemy's camp. Yes. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
A Christian's faith is like a torpedo in the enemy's camp. He cannot fight, he cannot fin off a torpedo. Once it strikes, there's going to be damage done.
Yeah.
Maybe you can bring it down. Your faith is one of the strongest tools, if not the strongest tool you have in your arsenal. Your faith. But sometimes our faith is overshadowed by our mouth.
Yeah,
amen. That's right. Sometimes your faith is overshadowed by evil. Do you know why some people won't listen to you minister the gospel? Because you just talk all the time. You talk, and people just get sick of hearing you talk. Even if you're telling the truth, you can't talk all the time. Let the Lord lead you when to open your mouth. Let the Lord tell you when to say something. Because even if you're speaking the truth, if you always talk, ain't nobody listening to you. Amen. Even when you're telling the truth, if you don't take a breather, you know why I don't answer my phone to some people? Because I only get to say two words, hello and goodbye. Everything in between is them.
Amen.
I say, hello, old pastor. And I say, I gotta go. Goodbye. Hang up. That's all I get to say.
Amen.
Amen. No amens this morning? Y'all stuck? And so even if you're speaking the gospel, if you're not speaking it in God's time, it's probably not landing.
Amen.
You need to use wisdom when you minister.
Yes.
Not just yakety. Don't just talk because you got lips.
Amen.
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 That's not the message. I mean, but that's a good message. But that ain't the one. Amen. You know why your husband and wife don't want to hear you? Because you never shut up. You whine about everything. So when you got something valid to say, ain't nobody listening.
Amen.
I'm the only spouse in the house. I'm the only parent here. If your kid cries about every single thing, are you, y'all, they awfully quiet. If your kid cries about every single thing, do those cries mean much after a while? You just look in to see if they're bleeding or if anything's running on the floor. If they're still standing, they're all right and just gone.
Yeah.
Because like, oh yeah, they just, again. But that's not the message. All right. Anybody in Proverbs?
Amen.
I sure wish y'all say something. I got all this time and nobody to enjoy it with. Amen. Y'all listening?
Yeah.
Proverbs 8, listen, but Proverbs, okay, Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. Verse number 20. The positive words that a man speaks fills his stomach. He will be satisfied with what his lips produce. Should I read that again? The positive word. Anybody, can anybody name one source of positive words? That's a shame. Sitting in the church, you can't name one source of positive words. Can I raise up the B-I-B-L-E? I'm going to read it again. The positive words from a man speaks fills his stomach. He will be satisfied with what his lips produce. Verse number 21. What you say can preserve life or destroy it. Are you aware that God created the worlds and the universes with his words?
Amen.
And are you aware that we are made in the image of our God? And so if what God speaks produces, and you are made in the image of your God, our God, Yeshua,
yes,
when you speak, you produce something.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So when God spoke, he produced life. When you speak what God speaks, you too produce life. When you speak opposite of what God speaks, you are no longer speaking life, but what?
Yeah.
So when you keep calling your kid crazy, and you wonder why they still act in the way that they do, don't blame it on A-D-B-D-A-D-D-C. All of that. Don't blame it on the letters. Blame it on what you just spoken to their life.
Amen.
Amen. When you wonder why you're, thank you, Pastor Sandy. When you wonder why I ain't never going to have no money. I just ain't never, I'm going to always be broke. And you wonder why you're always broke? You keep speaking that into your atmosphere. You keep speaking that I'm never going to get a promotion on my job. I'm just never, I'm going to be here the rest of my life. And you wonder why your life is the way that it is. Because you keep speaking over your life the things you want done.
Amen.
I'm never going to be successful. Guess what? You're never going to be successful. I'm never going to make it. You're never going to make it. I'm never going to be what my free, what pastor, I'm never going to understand the way pastor said. I'm never going to be able to pray the way pastor said. I'm never going to be able to do. Guess what? You never will. Because you keep speaking that over your life. And I got scripture to back it up. I'm not just talking out the side of my neck. I got scripture to back this up.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just trying to help you to understand before we get into it, and I don't have time to talk to you like this, is that what comes out of your mouth governs what happens next.
Yes.
If I don't want to, if I don't like a situation, I pray about it. I'm speaking what God tells me to speak over that situation. Lord, I don't agree with that. That is not of you, and we do not accept that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's not allowed in my house. I rebuke anything that tried to enter into our house that goes against what you've spoken to me. I'm going to speak life into my house, into my family. I'm going to speak life into the people that are in my atmosphere. I'm going to speak life into everyone that is around me, because that is God's command for me to do. Speak life into you. I'm not going to speak death into you. And I'm not going to let you speak death into me.
Yes. Amen.
I'm not going to let you do that. You're not going to come to my house and spill out all that poison and then leave me in a toxic environment and you walk off scot-free. That's not going to happen.
Amen.
And you start talking crazy, I'm gone. I'm out.
Amen.
That's why I don't like talking on the phone, because I'm hostage.
Yeah.
They'll hold you hostage on the phone. And I can't say, first of all, I can't get to say nothing. And you spewing all your all on me. And I'm held hostage while you vent. And then now my atmosphere is toxic because of you. And you run off scot-free. That's not going to happen.
Amen.
You just mean, no, I'm watching over what God gave me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you destroy what God took almost 60 years to create. I'm not going to let you do that. And you shouldn't let anybody do it either.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
I know anybody going to jump off the walls and shout today, but I'm going to tell you what God gave me. And what you do with it is up to you. Verse number 21. What you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. God will let you say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
If you want to talk stupid, he will let you talk stupid. The Holy Spirit will try to say, look, before you open your mouth, because I already see what's coming out, I'm trying to let you know you can't say that. I'm grown. I say what I want to say. Grown. There you go. I'm just so mad. I just can't help it. Gone. He's not gonna put you in a full Nelson and wrestle you to the floor to shut you up. He's going to let you dig that ditch. And he's going to watch you jump in, because that's your choice. You weren't tricked in. You jumped in.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
They don't like this one. You like it? Thank you, Pastor Sandy. Amen. 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 So I'm going to read you a couple of versions. No, I'm not. Matthew 12:37. Somebody look this up. Matthew 12:37. Real quick. For by your words, you will be acquitted. Or by your words, you will be condemned. Matthew 12:37. Write that down. By your words, you will be acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned. What you say will either set you free or lock you up. What comes out of that pie hole will either bless you or curse you. Y'all want another one? Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, sin is unavoidable.
Wow. Say that again.
Pastor, I think I will. When words are many, in other words, when you cannot find the courage, the strength, or the desire to shut up, your sins are unavoidable. You gonna drop the ball somewhere in that mess that you keep spreading. Something gonna go wrong. When words are many, sin is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. He who knows how to keep his mouth shut at the right time and open it at the right time, led by the Spirit of God, is wise. He who don't know how to be quiet. Have you met somebody that knows something about every conversation you bring up? They done been everywhere you've been. They done been with everybody you've been with. They know exactly what you're talking about, because every time you start a conversation, they finish it. Amen. Everybody, there ain't nothing you can say that they haven't done. They have accomplished everything and have nothing to show for it. Every time you open your mouth, they know something about it. It's like, can I please finish the conversation? I started it, you know. There is a point to what I'm saying. Can I finish? And they know something about it. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church now.
Amen.
The world got their own issues. Let them deal with their own. I'm talking about us. Amen.
Yes.
All right. That didn't land so well. That's cool.
Amen.
Proverbs 13:3. He who guards his mouth protects his life.
Amen.
He who guards his mouth protects his life. I'm thinking God's got a problem with the church people talking too much.
All right.
I mean, that's just what I'm getting out of this message so far. That's just what I'm gleaning. He who guards his mouth protects his life, but the one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. You never knew your mouth caused so much trouble, did you? You gonna know before you leave here today, unless you leave now. Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his tongue keeps his soul from distress. When it talked about guarding your life, it's not just this natural life that you live in, although opening your mouth at the wrong time here can cause you to have a short life. But I'm talking about your spiritual life, your real life when you leave here. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all didn't. That's fine. Somebody go to James 1:19. Come on, real quick. Let me know when you get there. James 1:19. I got time, but I ain't wasting it all on you. Come on, let's go. Did somebody say, what, James? Oh, I thought they said, what, James? I'm like, uh-oh. I want to thank. I had a list of people. I want you to know, Linda Searcy, I got your card. Pastor Sandy always get cards, and I love it because they're listening. I don't really get much, and I mean, but I got this.
Amen.
Thank you, Linda. I love your whole family and then some. I love the rest of y'all too, but thank you, Linda. I just wanted to make sure I said that. Amen. There are a lot of people that support us. There are a lot of people that love us. There are a lot of people that pray for us. Hong Kong and Japan and Hawaii and Indonesia and Africa. All over the globe. Every state, I believe every state in this union. There are people all over the place that love this house of prayer. And don't think we don't appreciate it and need it. And it is because of God using you that helps us to be what we are and to do what we do. And I want to thank you on behalf of the Soldiers for Christ International Global Community Church. Thank you. And the dog tags are being issued. They're going out. Everybody that I have some kind of correspondence from, whether you have blessed us with finance, you send us a prayer, you send us a upside down cake, whatever you've done. If I got your address, you're on the list for one. If you went through the website and donated, if you went through PayPal, if you send a check, anything you've done, if I got your address, you're on the list. So give me time because it's just me, but I'm working on it. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I needed to get that out there for the people. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. Lord, help me because I want to do this right. I want to do this the way you gave it to me. Lord, don't let me blow this. I need to get this right. It's very important. Let me know when you get there. I'm praying while you search it. That's 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. Lord, I want to do this right. Help me in the name of Jesus. Is anybody there?
Yeah.
For although we do live in the world, we do not wage war in a worldly way. Y'all listen? Because the weapons we use to wage war are not worldly. Okay? Somewhere in the Bible it tells us we war not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities in high places. We're not warring against men and women. We're warring against the spirit that's driving those men and women. Amen? If you've got somebody in your life that's just a handful, it is not that person, but it is the spirit that is moving and motivating in that person or those people. Don't hate that person. Hate the spirit that's driving that person.
Yes.
Amen? We need to stop trying to fight spiritual battles with carnal weapons. You cannot fight somebody with your mouth. You fight them with prayer. You fight them with your spiritual warfare. That's how you fight. You cannot fight the enemy with a stick. You can't hit him. Your faith destroys the enemy. Your belief in Christ, your steadfastness, that destroys the enemy. Your desire to want to be what God has called you to be and walking in the word of God, that what destroys the enemy. You cannot destroy the enemy with carnal weapons. You must use spiritual warfare.
Yes.
And if you don't know what that is, ask your pastor, why don't you know what that is? Because you should know.
Yes.
If you've been in a church and you don't know what spiritual warfare is, and you don't know what your tools and weapons are to fight the enemy, why are you still in that church?
Amen.
Amen, somebody. If that pastor, he, she, them, they are not teaching you how to fight the good fight, then what are you doing there? Paying their car note? What is your purpose? If they're not teaching you how to survive and how to get into the gates, they are wasting your time.
Amen.
And I don't care how sweet it sounds. If it's not benefiting your walk, you don't need them.
Amen,
amen, somebody.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to read this again. I'm going to try not to stop. For although we do live in the world, we do not wage war in a worldly way, because the weapons we use to wage war are not worldly. On the contrary, they have God's power for demolishing strongholds. The word of God has God's power. When you speak what God has given you to speak, when you speak what the Holy Spirit is telling you to speak, when you move when the Holy Spirit tells you to move, you're moving in power and authority that nobody can stop. You're moving with the power and the authority and the grace and the dominion that God has given you. Nobody can stop you if you're moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it will, can, and is designed to break and bring down strongholds. There is nothing that the word of God, fasting and prayer, cannot overcome. Nothing.
Amen.
If you're using the word of God and you're fasting, you're praying, and you are a true soldier, and you're guarding your lips and you're guarding what you do, there's no reason you should not be elevated in God. There's just no reason.
Amen.
And if you say you're doing all of this and things are not changing in your life, you need to reevaluate what you're doing.
Yes.
Because this works.
Amen.
This works.
Yes.
The word of God cannot fail. It cannot fail. It cannot fail. And if you are following God, you won't fail either. Amen.
Amen.
Chairs. Amen, angels. Because I know they're here. We demolish arguments.
Yes.
And every arrogance.
Yes.
That raises itself up against the knowledge of God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We take every thought captive and make it obey the Messiah. We take every thought captive. And listen, I tell my mind and my body, you gonna obey God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ain't got a choice. He's in control. I'm on his side. You the third wheel. You go where we go. Amen.
Amen.
You must command your body to listen to what the Spirit of God is telling you. Your body is not, your flesh is not in control. God is. When I get sick, you know what I do?
Yeah.
I said, that is not of God.
Yeah, right.
I'm not accepting that. That's not of God.
Amen.
You got to change. Something's got to give.
Amen.
I tell my body, you can't. That's not how God created me. You cannot stay this way.
Amen.
That's why when I go to the doctor, they look at me, ain't nothing wrong with you. I know. I'm just going because my wife won't leave me alone. God bless her. I told her before I got here wasn't nothing wrong. But she wanted to hear it from you. Am I right, Nikki?
Yeah.
All right, now see that? Because I know, right? Because God is in control. And if you are a child of the living God, you must allow God to be in control. Because God does not ghost co-pilot. God will not co-pilot your walk. He is either in control or he's not. God is not going to be your co-pilot. So take that off your bumper. I hate that. Oh, who's the other one? Coexist. Coexist with what? Nephilims? Coexist with what? Demons? Coexist with what? No, ain't nobody coexisting up in here.
Yeah.
Hello. Why not? Nobody shout. This is great stuff.
Yes.
That's okay. Are people online saying amen? Well, tell us a few more of y'all say amen, because these folks up here, they just listening. They ain't saying nothing. No, don't be trying to say nothing now. No, no, no. Don't be trying to chime in now. Amen. Amen. Hold on, because I'm not finished yet. And when you have become completely obedient, I'm reading this from the scriptures.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't think this up. I'm reading this. If this is not in your Bible, you need to throw away that Bible. And when you have become completely obedient, not just obedient to the things that you like, not just obedient to the things that you consider easy, not just obedient to the things that are convenient, but when you become completely obedient, that's not a suggestion, that's a commandment. Complete. That means I got to be obedient when I talk to people.
Yes.
I got to be obedient in my prayer life. I got to be obedient how I treat people. I got to be obedient how I treat the Spirit of God that's in me. I got to be obedient to the Word of God. I got to be completely obedient, not just to the sweet stuff. I got to eat the broccoli and the cake, not just cake. Not just broccoli covered cake. I said colored. I didn't say covered. What? That's good stuff. Yeah. Y'all don't know what you're eating. Completely, absolutely obedient.
Amen.
You cannot pick and choose when you're going to be obedient to God. Well, I'll be obedient here. But when it comes to that, hubba hubba, I ain't obedient to that. You got to be completely obedient to God no matter what.
Yep.
If God said be obedient in your finances, guess what? You need to do that. If God said be obedient to your spouse, to your children, to your job, you got to do that. If God said be obedient to the place where it feeds your soul, that's church. You need to do that. Whatever God commands you to do, you need to be completely obedient.
Yes.
And when you have become completely obedient, then we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. So through obedience, you can destroy disobedience. Anybody catch that?
Yeah.
Through your obedience, you can cause others to stop being disobedient.
Amen.
Through your obedience, you force your flesh to be obedient to the word and the will of God. Amen, Pastor Ben. That's all right, baby. You got it. Amen. Well, they wasn't doing it. Somebody had to. Amen. Amen. Is that what it is, baby? Thank you, mother. I appreciate that. She said some things take a minute to soak in. All right. James 1:19. Did we ever read that? Well, we're going to read it now. My beloved brothers, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slower to anger.
Yes.
I don't think I'm going to read that again because I like that. James 1:19. Get to Matthew and hang a right. My beloved brothers and sisterin, understand this. Everyone, not just the pastors, not just the wives and the deacons and the kids, everyone should be, because he know everybody's not going to be, but he said everybody should be, because he know everybody ain't going to be, because some of y'all love talking. You love talking. I just love talking. You love commenting on everything. You love hearing people conversation so you can chime in. You just love talking. That's why you can't minister. Because everything you say, people just consider just another conversation you're having.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing special. There's, if everything is made out of silver, then big chunks of silver is no big deal.
Right.
Because everything's made out of silver. But if you got some gold sprinkled in there,
yeah,
that's the keeper. I'm after the goal. If you're talking all the time about whatever comes up, when the Lord gives you something and you speak it, nobody's listening because you're like a radio. They know you're on, but nobody's paying attention.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
You're always yakking. I know how to turn you up, I know how to turn you down, I know how to get you going, I know how to keep you going, I know how to keep you from praying, keep you talking. I know how to keep you from studying, keep you talking. Go to work, oh God, here they come.
Yes.
They got something to say, they got to hide from you because you know, because they know you got something to say. So they go in the little corner because they know you're going to have something. You all up in the Kool-Aid, don't know what flavor it is.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, y'all making this awfully tough. I'm gonna keep preaching. I don't care what you say. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 12:35. Can I talk to you about careless words?
Yes.
Not paying enough attention to what one does, that's careless. When you say something and you know it's not exact, that's careless. When you say something and you know it's not accurate, that's careless. When you say something and you know it's not thorough, that's careless. Done or said needlessly or negligently, careless. Unconsiderate. When you speak and you are unconsiderate to other people and their feelings, I just oh my mind, girl, I just had to say it. Get the thorn in your head and shoulders get to wiggling and look like something's going on and you just spit it out. Amen. I know that none of y'all have ever done that. So we know this does not affect you. Because none of you are guilty of any of that. Careless remarks hurt somebody's feelings. I don't care how it came out. I just said it because that's how I was feeling. Now, you judging. Because that's their favorite term. You know, you judging, you judging, you judging. Well, maybe I am. Shut up. You talk too much. You judging. No, I'm listening. Shut up. Amen. Not caring or having any concern or consideration for others. Have you noticed some people, they just do stuff and they know that that will cause you issues and they know that you guys are share the same space, but they do it either they don't care that it caused you issues or they do it because they know it will cause you issues. This is not of God. It's going to say something about carelessness in a minute. Verse number 35. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. In order to have goodness stored up in you, you must allow goodness to stay in you or to be in you, or you must feed yourself with goodness. Do you know when you speak, you're feeding not just your atmosphere, but you're feeding you? So when you speak negative things, you're not just speaking them into the atmosphere, you're also speaking them into you.
Yes.
Right? Y'all understand that? When you speak good things into the atmosphere, do you know you're speaking good things to you?
Yes.
When you're trying to encourage somebody else, do you know that God will turn that around and encourage you?
Yes.
By encouraging somebody? Because you're feeding your spirit man and you're storing up good things in you. If all you're doing is spewing out things that don't agree with God or that are careless, that's what you're pumping into you.
Go ahead.
Anybody catching this?
Amen.
This is good stuff.
Yes.
So when you're always speaking negatively about you, even in your mind, I'm speaking negativity in my mind so I don't speak into the atmosphere. The atmosphere may not receive that directly, but you will feed it to it indirectly because you're feeding it into yourself, and sooner or later it's coming out.
That's that imagination too.
Thank you.
Amen.
God wants us to be real enemies for the enemy.
Yes.
Not puppet enemies. He doesn't want you to be hollow enemies. He wants you to go with a bang. He wants you to send something with some ooh, not something with some pew. Y'all, all right. Amen. I'm trying to help you. Verse number 36. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. What? So, in order for every word to follow you in judgment, somebody had to be tracking every word that you say.
Yep.
In order for God to compile a list of stupid stuff that we say and careless stuff that we spew out, in order for God to compile a list, somebody had to write it down. You mean God keep notes on the things that I say? Yep.
Go ahead.
And he's writing it down. And he's got it. And if you don't repent and you don't fall in line with God, those things will follow you to judgment and you will have to pay for it.
Amen.
If you don't repent for all the careless, idiotic, stupid stuff that's been said through your little nutty life, and you carry that with you to judgment, you are going to have to pay for every careless word. It said so right here. Is that in your Bible too, or is that just in my Bible? Is that in your Bible?
Yes.
Nick, is that on anybody's Bible online? Is that on their Bible? All right. Verse number 37. On that day, they will be told they are neither innocent. No. On that day, they will be told they are either innocent or guilty because of the things they have said. My God. What I say will dictate where I wind up when I leave here. What I say will dictate where I live, spend eternity. What comes out of here will dictate the rest of my life, my eternity. How important is my speech? If everything I say is written down by scribe angels, and if I don't ask God for forgiveness and enter into his presence and stay there, you mean everything that I've said will follow me to judgment? Yes. And I will have to pay for what I did while I was here, because I didn't allow Christ to pay for it. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Having no trouble paying the card note. I don't want to pay for no sin. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
A tree is its fruit. That's the title. Somebody go to Luke 6, 44 and 45. Come on, y'all. Come on. Because in a minute, I'm going to start giving out scripture, and I'm not going to talk about them. I'm just going to read the scriptures. Y'all there? Luke 6, 44 and 45. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. Your tree is not recognized by my fruit. Your tree is recognized by your fruit. Your tree bears your fruit. Your tree don't bear my fruit, and I don't bear yours. God recognized me for what I do and don't do, not you.
Right.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So when you meet God, Lord, I would have did this, but my pastor. He's like, I ain't looking at your pastor's fruit. I'm looking at yours. And it ain't looking good so far.
Yeah.
Amen? All right, I'm going to read. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. You cannot get an apple on an orange tree. It's just not going to happen. So you can come to church and pretend you saved and filled with the Holy Ghost of fire and baptized and whatever you got to do. And you can be whatever you want to be. But if your fruit don't bear witness to your testimony,
yes.
I'm listening to the fruit. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
You know, it's not that I need your amens. I just want to know you're still with me.
Amen.
Your fruit will bear witness to your testimony. So you can claim to be whatever you want to be, but if your fruit says different, your fruit is going to tell the real story. Verse number 45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks who you really are. You know, I was just playing. Yeah, but you said it. It must have been in there. Because if it wasn't in there, you wouldn't have said it. Oh, you know, I didn't mean that. No, I actually don't know that. Because you said it. It was a slip of the tongue, so you didn't mean to say it, but it was still in there. I didn't mean it, but you said it, which means it was in there. Right? You can apologize, but that don't take it back. That don't change it. That don't reverse it. That don't stop the effect that it caused when it came out. Amen. God's trying to build a strong army. I hope you're okay with that. James 3. No, I can't read that. That's too much. Go to 1 Peter 2:16. Any amens online, Nikki?
Yep.
1 Peter 2:16. Thank you, Pastor Andrea. You are free. Let me tell you something. You have the freedom right now to obey God. It is a freedom to obey God. Because before you came to God, you are a slave to sin and you could not obey him. On your best day, you could not obey God. On your best day. Because you are a slave to your flesh. You are a slave to this world. You are a slave to sin. But now that you have come into Christ and you are no longer a slave to sin, you have the ability to give God praise. You have the ability to walk and live in freedom. Freedom is a gift. Now you have the freedom to serve God, truly serve God. What are you doing with your freedom? What are you doing? You have the freedom to witness and to testify. What are you doing? You have the freedom to be an example of a light shining on a hill that cannot be hid. What are you doing with your freedom? Because if you don't treat it right, one day you won't have freedom. Amen, Pastor Ben. Amen, baby. It's all good. I know y'all thinking, so I don't want to interrupt you while you're thinking. James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I just can't stop it. If you are in Christ, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. He's coming back. By the time he gets back, you have been refortified and you're ready to fight again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm giving you scriptures and I need you to write these down because you're going to need these tonight and tomorrow. James 1:26, and if a man thinks that he serves God and does not hold his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's service is worthless. Let's do that again. James 1:26. And if a man thinks that he serves God and does not hold his tongue, if you just find it impossible to keep your thoughts to yourself, you find it impossible to keep your mouth shut. You find it so inconvenient not to be able to say whatever comes up. Do you know the Bible says, let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. That was not a suggestion. That is a commandment.
Yeah.
Christians cursing. You deceiving yourself. He said, you don't have the freedom or the right to do that. You're representing me. Say, for instance, you own the daycare. Okay, y'all with me so far? You own the daycare.
Yes.
And you had hundreds of little children, newborns, 3 and 4 year old, coming in. Are you going to allow somebody dressed like a gigolo to walk in and service your kids? Why? Because it does not represent what you stand for.
Amen.
It misrepresents. Is a good chance that person going to get fired or get arrested?
Yes.
Yes. When you are... First of all, when you're cursing, first of all, why would you curse in the first? There's so many wonderful things to say. Why would you allow that nasty, ignorant filth to spew out of your mouth in the first place? That's my problem in the first place. But now, how do you think you represent God using filth? Just let it fly. I've heard pastors up there. Just let it fly. I'm like, wow. What kind of ghost you got? It can't be the Holy Ghost. Right? That says in Poltergeist. What kind of ghost you got swimming around up in you that you can just let it fly and nothing inside you. There's no blocking, no stopping, no hold on before you open your ears. Nothing. Just this is out there. What's wrong with you that you think that's okay? I'm still saved, thinking I feel the Holy Spirit. You might want to recheck that and see. Because I beg to differ. Because if you got the same Holy Spirit in you that I got in me, and that Ryan has, and Pastor Sandy, and Nicole, and you, and we, oh my God. All right. Let's go to Ephesians 4:29. Come on, y'all, because my time is starting to slip by. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful.
Yes.
So that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Anybody catch that? Pastor Sandy liked that. I'm going to read it one more time. Did we not turn it on?
We're good.
Okay. Don't use Ephesians 4:29, in case you didn't know it was in there. Don't use foul or abusive language. Because sometimes you can use what you say is ugly. You're not cursing, but what you said is just so ugly.
Yeah.
Just ugly. Even though it wasn't a curse word, it should have been.
Yeah.
Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Proverbs 21 and 23. I have 2, 4, 6 versions of that one scripture. Let me know when you get there. Proverbs 21 verse 23. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. Different version. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Another version, because one of these you ought to hit home. Another version. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Another version. He who guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from distress. Another version. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. Last version. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. I'm thinking God has a theme to this lesson. Anybody caught on to what that theme is yet? Shut up. I have 2 more versions of that. I'm sorry, it was on the other page. The one who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble, and watching what you say can save you a lot of trouble. Amen to that.
Amen.
Watching what you say can save you a lot of trouble. When she say you want to come over, you say no. You just saved yourself a lot of trouble.
Amen.
Amen. Want to hit this weed? No. You just saved yourself a lot of trouble.
Amen.
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 Want some? Mm-mm. You just saved yourself a lot of trouble. No child support, no STB CDs, no ADDD, nothing. You just saved yourself a lot of trouble just by saying no. Just by saying, mm-mm. Lock the door. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 5:4, right quick, because I'm running out of time. Ephesians 5:4. This is my last verse on my last page, and then I got some scriptures I want to give you, because the message will be through when I finish this scripture. Hurry up. Now it is fitting for you to use... Let's try that again. Now it is fitting for you to use language which is up... I'm sorry. I messed that up. Nor is it fitting for you to use language which is obscene. I think that covers the curse thing, right? Profane, another curse one. Vulgar, another curse one, because sometimes they say, well, that wasn't profanity, that was just vulgarity. So we got you too. Rather, you should give thanks to God. So every time you think you want to say something that ain't right, give thanks to God instead. See what happens. I got some scriptures I want to throw out. Get a pen and paper ready. Come on, right quick, because I'm not going to stop explaining them. I'm just going to tell you. You ready? Y'all ready? All right. Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the fruit you reap leads to holiness. And the outcome is eternal life. Romans 6:22. Should I read that again? Y'all got it? Galatians 5 and 13. For you, brothers, were called to freedom, but do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, rather to serve one another in love. Don't use the freedoms that you have in Christ to put other people down because they don't look like you.
Amen.
Don't use what God has blessed you with to beat somebody else down just because you finally made it to step number two and they still crawling up step number one. Because you're not nailed to step number two. You can still fall.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. James 1:25. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and continues to do so, not bringing a forgetful, be blessed in what he does. I guess I should read that again, right? But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and continues to do so, not being a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer. Don't just listen. Faith without works is what?
Yeah.
You can have all the faith in the world and don't put any of it into action. It's dead.
Yeah.
If you believe everything and do nothing,
dead.
I'm almost finished. Amen. 1 Peter 2:16. Come on. Live in freedom. It is a commandment that you live in freedom. Why is it a commandment that you live in freedom? Live in freedom. So it is your job not to be enslaved by the enemy. That's your job, not to be enslaved by the enemy. So you have to do whatever is necessary to make sure the enemy does not capture you and cause you to fall back into slavery, because God commands you to live in freedom. It is a commandment. It is not a suggestion. You're supposed to walk in freedom. You're supposed to be healthy. You're supposed to be wise. You're supposed to be free.
Amen.
That's what his blood died for. Your job as a believer is to live in freedom. How can I do that? Just by following what God has commanded you to do.
Amen.
I have 40 pages of notes. 40. 40. I'm going to give you a couple things to help you in your war with the enemy. Write this down. Weapons of warfare. You must know and speak the word of God. You must know and speak the word of God. You cannot not speak the word of God. In every situation you find yourself in, you must find a way to speak the word of God into that situation, good, bad, or indifferent. At your job, at your home, wherever you are, pray in your car. Whatever you're doing, you must make room for God's word. It is your job to inject the word of God in everything that you do. But you must first know the word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. But what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Cut in on the line.
Amen.
Did we do it?
Yes.
Cut in on the line. Your conversation must reflect the mentality of a conqueror.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm so tired. I'm so down and out. I'm so broke. I'm so this. You're not representing God with that talk.
Amen.
Your talk, your conversation must represent a victor, not a victim. These are weapons for your battle, for your warfare. I have two more. You must take authority over the enemy in the name of Jesus. Whatever the enemy brings to you, you give it. When Jesus was on the mountain and Satan was with him, and he's trying to give God all this stuff, he fought the enemy with the word of God. He didn't break out a sword. He didn't pick up any rocks. He spoke the word of God. His warfare with the enemy that was standing next to him was his own word. If it worked for him, it'll work for you. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Sandy got me. Last one. You must be clothed. You must by faith clothe yourself with God's spiritual armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Not just the parts that you like. Not just the parts that are fashionable or seasonable. Your job is to put on the whole, the entire armor of God. So because God designed it, created it, made it, and fitted you for it, because it will save you. This is what you need in order to fight the enemy. I'm giving you what you need. If you don't put it on, how are you going to effectively fight the enemy? The whole armor of God. There is so, I'm stopping. There are 40 pages of notes here. I'll be glad, and my message, I'll be glad to send it to anybody that wants it. There, Pastor, you're going to love this. I could keep you online for 2 more hours. Easy. Just encouraging you to be what God has created you to be.
Amen.
Follow the word. Follow God. And he'll stay with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sandy. Amen. Amen. Amen.